Well, the big thing I wanted to kind of tackle tonight was just this tension between two of our leaders' essentials that we have as group leaders, and that is the provide care and develop leaders. They're two of the eight leaders' essential we have, and often I think there's a little bit of tension between them, and so I want to talk about a little bit that. Our strategy for when it comes to how we do community groups, our strategy really is to develop and build into people. We're not looking for free agents out there that we try to recruit in and have them lead. We really want to say, when someone comes to River City Community Church, wherever they're coming from, non-Christian background, pre-Christian, walked away from the church, always been in the church, that in our community, they develop and grow as people. They become leaders. They become the people that God designed them to be. So it's kind of this in-house farm system. And so when it comes to our strategy of developing that, the question is, what vehicle or mechanism are we doing to create these leaders? Where do they create? And if you ask me where they create, I'm going to tell you they get created in the community groups. That the best place to develop and grow leaders is within our groups. It's with each one of your groups. And so we're developing them. But as a group leader, does that sometimes cause a little bit of tension in our priorities? Because as group leaders, I mean, a lot of our time, especially when you start a group, right, it's getting the people to come, right? Building the relationships, building the friendships, building the intimacy and tightness. And you work really, really hard to make that happen. And then it happens. And then you're like, this is great. Now we're becoming friends. And now you actually sometimes even start to enjoy leading the group. You know, I'm just joking. But you know, it's fun. You enjoy the relationships and you build friends and you have fun together and it feels good and it's comfortable. And so the idea then, having gone to that and gone through difficult, maybe you had a funeral that you went through together. Maybe it was a marriage crisis that you guys walked through together, a crisis of faith that you walked through together. Now you got blood in it together. And now you're really tight. And so this tension of saying, okay, we're so close now. Well, gosh, the thought of sending someone I care about away to lead a group, it's like, is that tension there? Is that just me or does everyone feel it? No, it's there. And it's real. And I think it's one of the most difficult tensions to have to manage as a group leader. So let's just be frank with what we're feeling then. Is you have this tension of saying, there's something in me that wants everyone to stay together. You know, I want to nurture everyone. Everyone's safe, everyone's together, everyone belongs. And then this competing strategy that says, hey, we're about developing leaders, sending leaders out. And so it's real. It's there. What do we make of that? So that's kind of the small topic I wanted to tackle tonight, was how we can maybe think about that and negotiate that, because we all feel it and it's just there. So I want to look at a couple of verses of scripture in Matthew chapter 9. We'll look at Jesus' ministry, use him as our model as we move forward. So Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to look at verse 35 is kind of where we're going to start here. And this is just describes what Jesus' ministry was doing. It said, Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. What I love about his model is that regardless if he had a follower, Jesus knew what he was going to do. Before he ever called a disciple, this is what he was doing. So he knew what he was going to do. He did it consistently, and when he gathered followers, he still did it. And if his followers had all bailed on him, he still would have been doing it. So there's this intent where he knew who he was, what he was doing. He was a true leader. And this is what he was doing in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Next, it describes what he just encountered through his ministry. He says, when he saw the crowds, the people, he had compassion on them, for they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. What I love about this is the crowds is, first of all, what did he observe about them? Harassed and helpless. That's what he saw in them. And what was the response that he had? Compassion. He had compassion. So when he saw harassed and helpless people, I would simplify that need. He saw need. He saw a lot of need. A lot of people needing help. A lot of painful circumstances needing solution. A lot of pastoral care. A lot of love, a lot of attention needed, a lot of time needed. He saw need. What was his emotional reaction? Compassion. Okay? So when Jesus encountered need, he saw compassion. They were sheep without a shepherd. That's how he observed the reality of life as he was walking around. Okay? So that's the first thing that we notice there. When you think of that sheep without a shepherd, these words harassed and helpless, look at the different translations. You can see the wide variety of words that they use there. Harassed and helpless, bewildered and helpless, confused and helpless, confused and aimless, distressed and dispirited. I think it would be fair to say that all negative human emotion can probably be wrapped up in the description of when he looked at the crowd. They were discouraged. They were beat up. They lost hope. They were desperate. They were overwhelmed. They were panicked. They were lost. They were confused. I think any human negative emotion that we experience in our crowds, I think that's what he was probably describing there. And so the question was, are our crowds any different? Anybody think? Are crowds different or are they the same, generally speaking? Betty Jo says they're the same. Okay, I'm going to go with her answer. They're probably the same, right? And so that's the people that we're ministering to. Verse 37. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful. So wait a second, we're talking about a crowd and their need, and he described how big that was. Now what does he say? The harvest is plentiful. When people come to a group, do we see their problems as a harvest? When people come and they're distraught and harassed, emotionally on edge, do we see that as a harvest? Or do we see that as a problem? And Jesus, man, he just seems to challenge us. He saw that as an opportunity. The harvest, all this need, all these harassed and helpless people, yet the harvest is plentiful. That's something that he saw. Verse 37, but he continues, but the laborers are few. What do you mean? Where are you going with this, Jesus? The harvest is plentiful. This need's out there. Great opportunity, but the laborers are few. Where are you going with this? What does he say, verse 38? Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So wait a second. We were talking about need. We were talking about compassion. We were talking about helping people who are helpless. What is Jesus talking about now? What was that? The people that are supposed to be helping. He's talking about developing these people. Ministry, developing leaders. And so I want you to catch this. In Jesus' mind, when he saw need, he saw opportunity. And he saw opportunity to do what? Develop ministry, develop leaders for the ministry. Want to make a point of that? Because I think we often tend to put compassion in the caring ministries only, right? Compassion is helping the sick. Compassion is praying for people. Compassion is counseling people through trial. Compassion is hospital visits. Compassion is bringing meals. All of that's absolutely true, right? That's what helpless and harassed people need. They need that safety and love. And Jesus also, what is compassion? Developing leaders. Developing the people to do that. So when we look at that, we look at this need that we have as an opportunity to develop leaders for this harvest. And I'm challenged by that because I wouldn't have gone there. Here's a bottom line point that I draw from that. Jesus expressed his compassion through developing leaders. He expressed compassion, not only by this, but certainly we can't deny it. He expressed compassion by developing leaders. You know, when I think of people who are mercy people or compassion people, you know, I think of two conferences. Those who like to provide care go to this conference. Those who like to lead go to this conference. And just think about those two different conferences for a second. I think, while you're laughing, because you're like, you know, these are like talking about, you know, mercy and compassion, and it's about counseling and prayer, and these over here about vision and strategy and teams, and it's almost like they're two different worlds, don't they? Like if you saw a pastoral care conference, leadership conference, which one would you go to? And I think Jesus, when he talks about, he would go to both, because he expressed both in his life. He wasn't a single dimension leader. He could do both. He got down with the sick and the broken. He developed the best leaders the world's ever seen. He did both. So compassion led him to do both. What did Jesus think when he saw Peter leading his first sermon? You guys remember that one? 3,000 people. Think about that. 3,000 people, harassed and helpless people. His guy did that. They entered the kingdom that day. Those formed house groups out of that day. What was Jesus thinking when he saw that from heaven? You think he was pretty excited about that? Absolutely. His compassion fueled that. Compassion for the people. He developed a leader, and the leader made it happen. What about when Peter extended the Christian community to the Gentiles? And it broke out of a Jewish religion to become a worldwide religion. And Cornelius was there, and Peter was the guy ministering. What did Jesus feel when he saw his leader doing that? I bet he was pretty proud. His compassion fueled that movement. What about when Peter was hanging upside down on a cross? Martyred. What was Jesus feeling about his leader at that point? It's a big question. I don't even know if I want to pose an answer to that one. Just a big question. But think about that for just a second. Group leaders. That was his group member. He liked being around Peter. He cared about him. He loved him. He served him. They spent 3 years of committed life together, experienced everything together. And he had to watch his guy on a cross upside down. Did Jesus protect them from that? No, he didn't. He sent them to that. Yeah. Yeah. And when you think about what fueled him, his compassion fueled him. Jesus was not a one-dimensional leader. He was a multi-dimensional leader. And as a group leader, that challenges me because I have the dimensions that I'm comfortable with. I have the dimensions I like. And Jesus never lets me just be comfortable in the dimensions that I'm comfortable with. He's a full dimensional leader. And his compassion for people led him to do many things well. So when I summarize kind of this, you know, the gleaning from that, what Jesus saw, he saw need, he saw opportunity. He saw opportunity, he raised up leaders. And that's why we're here, because he did that. One of the things I just challenge with is asking us as a church now in our community groups, how are we doing? How are we doing on this idea of compassion and compassion expressed through developing leaders? Question quiz for you guys right now. What percentage of our groups, not beating anybody up, not pointing fingers at anybody, just an honest question. What percentage of our groups have identified an apprentice leader in our groups? Let's take a guess. 58.6. That's an excellent answer. Good try. Any others? Huh? 15? Okay. 30? 10? 70? 70%? Cool. 18% right now on court. Groups have an apprentice, okay? So why that's important to me is when we apply this thing to say, okay, are we really embracing the opportunity of the harvest that Jesus saw? So for me, that's a faith issue. It's a faith issue for me for leaders because, I mean, let's be honest, when it comes to leading, sometimes just making the group happen seems like a lot. And just that we get it done, we're like, okay, I got it done. That leadership side, it seems like a whole additional add-on that says, I don't know if I want to tackle that. I don't know if I can tackle that. I don't know if any of these are going to actually be leaders or if God's actually going to do anything. I think it's a faith issue. Because what did Jesus say? When you see the need and you see the opportunity, what was the response we're supposed to have? He said, pray earnestly. Pray so that nothing would happen. Pray that, you know, pray for leaders, but never see any come out of the woodwork. No, pray because why? They will come. And that's what Jesus did. He had prayed and he led it and he had 12 of them and he sent out 11. So the idea is that you pray and the leaders will come. And so for me, it's a faith issue. I think it's also a vision issue. Do we see the harvest as he saw? I think to deny the leadership development part of groups is to kind of, I think we have to kind of bubble a little bit, you know, just our needs and our group and everything. And it doesn't minimize the importance of our group, but it just, again, it's a vision thing. When Jesus saw the crowds, his group wasn't enough. He said, no, we got to think crowds as well. So it's a vision issue. And then I think, as we've been talking about, I think it's a compassion issue. Because we as individuals, just like Jesus, could not possibly meet the need around them. I mean, think about that. He's the first Christian. He's the first Christian. He's in a nation, in a world where he is the only one. Think about that for a moment. All the need, and you're supposed to do it. Wow, that's overwhelming. That's overwhelming. So you either shut the compassion off for the world, or you do what? You leverage leaders. And it's compassion that leverages leaders. So it's a faith issue, it's a vision issue, and I think it's a compassion issue when we talk about leadership development in our groups. One of the questions I have for us is, we've had great response this year in getting people in groups. And we have a lot of great testimonies of people that have experienced tremendous community because of this, because of your leadership and because of the things that we've done to help connect them. And so we've seen good things. But my question is looking at the next year. What is the next year going to look like? And I think it does come down to a leadership development issue. Because again, our strategy is not to go find freelance group leaders that are just out there. You know, our strategy is developing them from within. Because those are the ones that have experienced community. You know their name. You know what they're like. You know what their marriage is like. You know how they act under pressure. You know their theology. You know their people skills. They know our culture. They're the best people to be leading our groups. And those are the ones that we want. The question is, are we going to continue to be a place that makes room for the crowds to come? I mean, look at the size of our property, the size of crowds that we could gather here if we want to. Are we going to continue to make room for people in our community to join us? We did a quick study in July 1st. We wanted to know who's in our orbit. So those who are not already in a group, who's in our orbit? We found that 942 adults are in our immediate orbit. That means that they had some kind of engagement with us. So we know they're around, they're somewhere. They're grabbable. There are potentials to be in community. 942. How many group leaders is that? Public math. 94, that's right, 94. Okay, so that's a lot of leadership need. And those are just the ones we know about. There's others that are under the radar. They're not picked up yet, but we'll get them. We'll find them. But there's a lot of opportunity there, isn't there? The question is, are we going to be a church that makes room for the crowds? Is our compassion big enough that we'll develop leaders to serve them? Going back to the passage in Matthew 9:38. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into this harvest. Jesus said the words send out. You know, people can wander away from the community, but they don't rarely wander into the community. Leaders can wander away from their roles, but leaders do not wander into leadership roles. They're sent out. When you look at that Greek word, when other places it's used, it can be also thrust out, you know, sent out, thrust out. And that, I think, is a true description of leadership development. And that's the part we have tension with, isn't it? Because we're sending them out, we're throwing them out, we're kicking them out. It feels like to us, doesn't it? And that's true. There is a sending part of thing. It's a forceful movement to send people out in this harvest. But the question is it important? Do we need to do it? I have to use this. Thanks, Tim, for sending me this today. No kidding. Tim sent me this picture at 3 o'clock today. I'm like, God bless you, Tim. You're awesome, man. I owe you for this one. Here's what Tim wrote in his email. This is a quote he pulled out from it. I really appreciate you coercing me to lead. That's a leader that was sent out. Okay? What's that? Shoved out, pushed out. Yeah. And I wouldn't have used that word. I mean, it might have felt like that in his heart. We didn't see it on the outside. He was like, yeah, Paul. Paul's the culprit. But, you know, as Tim described in the email, and he didn't get to share the rest of it, but they were just commenting on the amazing community group experience that they have had together. Here they're hanging out at a brunch at a green hall, having a great time. I mean, their group has just taken off, and that's the benefit of it. But the reality is, and that's true for all of us, right? I mean, we were sent out, pushed out, coerced out, guilted out. I mean, you know, all kinds of verbs that we would use to how we got into it. Leaders don't wander into leadership. They're sent out. And that's going to be true for people in your group. They're going to be sent out, and it's up to us, because of our compassion, because of our vision, because of our faith, to pray that they would be.